Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, geology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours on this November the 13th. And now on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, guess what? It's November the 14th. What can we talk about today? Or tonight, or this morning, depending on where you are. It's another day of charades and wonderful truth-telling speeches. Got to hear the president, George W. Bush, make excuses for why the economy's all screwed up. One thing he forgot to mention is the massive theft of trillions of dollars. That does have a little bit to do with the problem. And he made these statements like, this problem took a long time to develop. It's not going to be fixed overnight. Yeah, right. Like your father and the Clintons and you have been pilfering, embezzling, stealing money from our treasury and from the stock markets and the central banks and everything else. For over 30 years, you've been doing it. I have to stop myself there. No fooling, Sherlock. You can read between the lines, anybody. I came close there to saying something I would never say on the radio. That's how disgusting his comments were. And to boot, the guy is reading teleprompters. He's in front of the Manhattan Institute. And he's winking at people in the audience. I don't even know if the guy realizes he does this. And he's got this Cheshire cat grin while he's talking about hundreds of billions of dollars that the government has actually gotten permission to steal from the people in this country, and he's smirking about it. Like he's some kind of wise guy. He reminds me of a sick Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver, if you know that character. He's a smart aleck that's always trying to get the beaver in trouble. Only this guy, you can read him a mile away. I have no respect for somebody that lies like that to the American public, and is a thief and a murderer on top of it. And with that, that is my rant for the evening. If you get a chance to see it, catch it on CNN or Fox. I think I saw all of 2 minutes. I'm basically describing 2 minutes, but it was so insulting to hear the lies. And there's a G20 summit coming up now where they're going to discuss this bailout in terms of international banking. All this money went to foreign banksters is what they are. And they're using this money to indiscriminately just giving it to whoever they want. They've been stealing it. Do you honestly think that they're going to start keeping honest books and tell us where the money's actually going? These people are psychopaths. And that's the end of my rant for tonight. With that, I want to bring on a special friend and a regular guest on Evident Footprints. He is an environmental scientist. He is also becoming a regular on this show and has appeared as a guest on some other shows on the Patriot Network, and particularly at RBN. On The Truth Hurts with Charles Giuliani. Charlie's a friend of mine and has also been on Evident Footprints. And Michael appears on many of the shows pretty much throughout the schedule. If they don't call him, he'll call them. And He's also an herbalist, a musician, and has a background in chemistry and computer science. So he brings a lot to the table, not to mention his experience as a historian and a musician. Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Don. Thank you, sir.
I got it right tonight. It's good morning, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, man, have you followed the news at all today?
Don, just what you had opened up with had me laughing in stitches. I'm just getting up off the floor.
because of how I presented it.
Well, also, just to the fact that, what do we have, a bunch of blithering idiots, obviously, as our president and Congress and Senate, because they're allowing this.
Oh, this is insanity, man.
Out of all our money and wealth into the hands of these few. But I'm laughing because, if I heard you right, our fearless leader, great president, G.W., stated that this was a long time in the works.
Yes, it took a long time to get to this stage, he said.
And yet, just a couple of weeks back, we never seen it coming.
Mm-hmm.
They were telling us they never seen it coming. I mean, holy smokes. I just don't know how the American people tolerate this. They're so obviously inept, incompetent, or just clearly do not give a darn about us at all and just say whatever they want, and they don't care if we believe it or not.
You know, I think an escargot that's been caught, you know, and it's ready to be served up, it's got more of a concern on its mind if it's going to actually get the garlic sauce or just butter. You know,
it's really disgusting.
How conscious is an escargot?
Yeah. I think it's more conscious than our president.
Yeah, and probably most of the public, unfortunately.
And the Senate, absolutely. No question about it. But it is disgusting because just 2 weeks ago, they didn't see it coming. Never seen this financial crisis coming at all. And now, well, it was in the works for a long time. It took a long time to develop. Well, if it took a long time to develop, how come you never seen it coming?
How does he know? What qualifies him to say that it took a long time to develop? Where did that information come from?
I'm sure he was intently studying this now for quite a while.
Well, his father, likely, right? I mean, we know since the inception of Wantagate. I mean, this has been going on, Michael, for a good 30 years at least.
Since the creation of the Federal Reserve, actually, Don.
Well, yeah. Well, then.
The early 1900s.
95 years, you know.
Because, you know, the bottom line is we're in trillions of debt. And prior to the Federal Reserve, our national debt was really zero.
Oh, yeah, I know. We had something worth stealing, and they figured a way to steal it.
Yes.
So, and it's amazing. Michael had been doing some research, and it's taken me back down those paths. As I'm looking for some characters, I pinpointed some savory characters in the Oklahoma City area. And would you believe I identified a guy? I mean, nobody had a clue who this guy was. And one of my listeners out there, I have to give her first name, Noella, sent me a link. Noella, you are an angel. You sent me a link to a website. And when I was on the site, I'm reading about this particular individual on the site who I was somewhat familiar with but had never seen his picture. He's the guy I'm trying to identify in a 1947 photo.
Taking where?
Taken in Oklahoma City with Stanley Armour and Madeline Dunham, the so-called Obama grandparents. This is like a CIA meeting at a restaurant. And one of my listeners actually sent me an email complimenting the message on the show and brought up some personal issues, you know, about some metaphysical experiences, and then sent me an email, a second email with a link. And this link was to listen to some information, and lo and behold, the person I'm trying to identify is on the website. Pictures all over the place. It's a match.
That's amazing, Don. I can't wait to see it.
It's supernatural. So now it's working out that the listening audience is helping, you see?
That's great.
This is fantastic. So, Noella, my thanks to you if you're listening either live or in an archive.
Of course, Don, with all that great research that you did, the bottom line conclusion is that the controllers are going to manipulate Obama like every previous president, and anyone believing that Obama is somehow an independent that's coming in to save our country or help our country is so naive.
Yeah, people, Michael, are just looking at what they see on the TV cameras, okay? And granted, they're painting this rosy picture of the guy, and nobody's hearing the truth. If you haven't listened to Larry Sinclair, and you haven't heard the description of the drugs that he did with Barack Obama, the drinking he did with Barack Obama, in a nightclub, in a limousine, and in a hotel room, on more than one occasion, and the sex he had with Barack Obama, and this is a man we're talking about here, while Obama was married, Obama had been married for at least 7 years when all this went on.
Mm-hmm.
And quite to the contrary, some 14 years or 15 years after he claims he stopped using drugs, he was still able to buy drugs and bring it to the party.
Gee, that reminds me of G.W. He was supposedly no longer an alcoholic or doing any drugs, but
yeah.
I clearly remember seeing a video on YouTube while he was in Europe with mm-hmm. Blair and Putin at some big activity, of course. They're walking around in their tux kind of clothes with their drinks in their hands, and there's G.W. with a drink in his hand, and he was clearly drunk as a skunk as you heard him talk
mm-hmm.
to Putin and Blair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, these guys, Don, are not leaders in any fashion at all. They are just more actors on a stage being controlled by the bankster clan, the Rockefeller cabal.
Yeah. You know, I run the risk of alienating people because what I know from behind the scenes, what I know about who these people are is so very different from what anyone's been shown.
And what the media portrays them to be.
Yeah, and if people, I mean, you people out there that have eyes to see and ears to hear, you discerning people out there that know what's going on. It's one thing to hope and to dream that our country is going to right itself.
God willing.
However, anyone, and Michael, you know this very well, am I making this up, or is our country going down the tubes? And fast.
It's the elevator's just about to slam into the basement.
Yeah. So, is it my intention to see it go there? No, absolutely not. That's why I do what I do. Hopefully, people are going to wake up and take a stand about this. But not only are people apathetic, you've got people cheering this on. You've got people rooting for the end of this nation. They don't even realize it.
That's right.
You know?
That's what's so incredible. They don't realize they're cheering and waving and smiling at their doom, their kids' doom, this country's doom. We're at a major precipice here.
Uh-huh.
There's not many moves for options here for us.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the people have to wake up very quickly if there's any chance left, like you're saying, Don. It's not looking good.
Yeah.
We're in a crash mode, and we're close to the ground. We're
yeah.
Close.
Now, Michael, I want to bring something up. Actually, there's a couple of things I want to bring up. But, we didn't really set a direction. But, I'm going to give you more of an opportunity tonight to express your thoughts than I did last week. Remember, last week we were sort of opening up this dialogue thing of addressing problems, confronting the problems so that we can start to develop skills amongst each other to solve problems. And I've been doing that every night for the past week now, and I've been getting a lot of positive feedback about that.
Great, Don. That's good to hear.
Okay. What people are hearing now, they're saying, like, they're hearing solutions. They're realizing that there is a process. There's a way they can formulate their thoughts. There's a way to look at these things and step outside of the fear that's hitting them from every angle. So, you know, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And I want to talk about one of the things that you kept bringing up last week when I was saying we're putting the cart in front of the horse. I don't want to go there yet. You know, I was just trying to lay that basic foundation, just a basic foundation that we can agree that we have to stop and we have to look at a problem, take it seriously, and agree that we're going to work together and then, you know, move sort of step by step. Now, we've done that every night. We did that with Jim Murray. I did a solo show. We had Reverend Roxy Hampton on. And we've sort of been flowing in that direction. So I want to give you more of an opportunity tonight to talk about righteous living. That's one thing I want to go into. And I want to preface that by saying that, we've handled the responsibility issue, individuality, and
awareness,
and the intentional separation of people through all these different methods, and that we must take a serious attitude, focus our energy, focus our attention on the problem, become aware, apply knowledge in the now sense, not in the past sense, because as we do that, we just keep bringing the past into our reality now instead of recognizing that it's finished. We can learn from that, and we can move on. Now, another issue that I haven't really touched on is fear, and I want to bring up a point here, and then I think it would be appropriate to let you run with this for a while, okay? I got an email from a listener, and a very well-stated email. This listener has a concern that her son is going to be drafted. Obama, should he get into office, has announced that he's going to have a mandatory draft. And they're talking about ages that they've never even, they've never even taken into the military. They're usually kicking people out when they reach a certain age.
And women, yes.
And so this parent obviously is concerned about having one of her children just thrown into the military and subjected to all of this madness. This is someone who's quite awake and raised the question, where would be the safe place to go? Where would it be safe to leave the country? Or, you know, what suggestions do I have? And now I took probably a different approach to it than anyone was expecting me to take, because someone would wait for me to say, well, go to Switzerland or go to Venezuela or, you know, name some faraway place, Tahiti. I don't think there's going to be such a thing as a safe place per se. I think if you're under God's protection,
right?
If you're being protected by God, or some supernatural force out there in the universe, then you will find yourself in the right place. But is it really fair? And I don't mean this in a demeaning way, but is it fair to expect someone else to provide that answer for you? Especially after, for a whole week now, we've been talking about taking the responsibility upon yourselves. You handle your issues. This is the whole issue here, is that we have given our power to people, and so now we're willing to reclaim it from the government, but people are wanting to turn around and hand it to someone else.
Well, that's right, Don, and what you're trying to just say to this poor lady that had such a serious concern,
mm-hmm.
It's simply that go to God. Go directly to your maker. I mean, talk to fellow, men, brothers and sisters, fellow neighbors that have your sincere interest, you know, in their minds when you're talking to them about important things like this. But ultimately, you have to go to your maker if you want the answer you're looking for. Because only your maker knows what's coming down the road for sure for each of us individually.
Mm-hmm. Now, I could come up with a million answers, you know. I'll suggest you go here, you go there. But isn't that the same as denial? That's the same as the people.
Well, it's speculation. You know, we can only speculate.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying to suggest one runs from the problem is just like it being in denial, pretending like the problem's not there.
Well, no, I mean...
Neither person is doing anything to solve the problem.
And that's, you know, it's understandable because how do you surmount that kind of problem? And in the old Vietnam days, they went to Canada. But they're not going to allow that this time. And where else do you go? All the other countries are basically already under United Nations control for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last country that's really holding out. And that's why they're trying to smother us now or crash us really fast. And it's just, you can't, number one, run away from this one like you're saying, Don. It's everywhere. It's a disease that has infected the whole planet, and our country is now experiencing that infection. And if we don't save ourselves from it, it's going to destroy us. And number two, as Americans, we got to stick together. If they try to pull some kind of garbage where they're coming after my family, you know, it's like there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a problem. Drafting the women, mind you, you know, your young men, drafting the women too, and all the way up into the 30s, maybe early 40s even, if I heard correctly.
Yeah, 40, I heard 42, something like that. Now, you know, you're looking at your family being inoculated, something that you wouldn't allow to happen here, okay? You're looking at them being put into these situations where they're exposed to bioweapons, depleted uranium, every kind of disease that they've created.
And warfare and battles that have nothing to do with defending our freedoms.
Exactly. It has nothing at all to do with what they're claiming it has to do with. So,
always a big lie.
You know, so it boils down to that. Now, you can imagine when I'm asked to answer that question, and I said, basically, what I've been promoting is that people come to a place where they decide these things for themselves and don't omit God from the equation.
Still, yep, and they'll still need guidance on how to do that, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Because until you know how to do it, it's still a trick that they got to figure out. And some advice that I would give that I've heard on Patriot Talk radio shows in the past from experts that stated, if you're in a draft situation and they've got you all lined up and they give you the old rah-rah speech, then they have to, by law, tell everyone to step forward if they're like, are you ready now? And step forward. And if you do not step forward, that means you are not volunteering to join. And therefore, they can't get you, but they will then intimidate you, trying to get you to step forward. That's what you got to watch out for. They'll intimidate you quite a bit, trying to get you to step forward. But if you don't step forward, then they can't enlist you. So that's the only other advice I could give in the meantime besides sticking together and resisting any kind of attempt to totally destroy families, because that's what that draft will do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're obviously trying to weaken any strength that there is, any bonds that people have within their community, within their family, the youth. To take the youth, the greater part of the youth, you're going to have nothing but children and senior citizens hanging around. If they do this, for what? What enemy? The enemy is them.
Terrorists, Don, the terrorists.
Yeah. Well, yes.
The enemy without country, without a uniform, without, you know, you can't find them. They're everywhere. I mean, it's ridiculous. The terrorists are nesting in Washington, D.C. That's plain and simple. Do the Google on swastika building at U.S. Navy base and see for yourself the Nazi building at a U.S. Navy base at Coronado off San Diego. What does that tell you?
How long have they been saying that they're going to remodel that, that it was going to be?
About a year now it's been since they finally admitted, oh my gosh, how did that happen? Boy, we never knew that was there.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure that, that the work is well underway to change the shape. Oh, it's...
Not yet, not as far as I'm aware, if no changes yet.
Yeah, well, I'm sure somebody pilfered that money too, you know, the money that was targeted for fixing that swastika problem. Yeah, for the listening audience out there, it's a naval building that looks like a swastika from the sky.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's
huge.
It's huge. It's a huge building, and they're pretending like they didn't know this. I mean, this gets drawn on a piece of paper, folks, before they actually go there and build it.
Well, that's usually how all the engineers do it.
<You know. laughs>
I guess the government workers just don't do it by the books, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't use blueprints, Don. They're that good. They don't even need to see a blueprint.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about fear. I don't know which one of the shows, if any, that you got to hear since you were on last, but we've covered many of these issues pretty thoroughly, on our communication skills. You and I covered a lot of them, but we went into more depth, each night, and we did it in the context of what's going on in the world so that people can sort of latch on to something where they can see it apply. There's a lot of fear. And of course, you have every fear imaginable. You have people that are fearful that they're going to run out of gas, that they're not going to be able to get where they have to go with their car. Not thinking that if we run out of gas, we're all going to be in the same shape. So things are going to change pretty rapidly at that point, if that becomes a reality. You have people afraid that they're not going to be able to get food. To drive to some place, whether it's to the doctor or to take somebody in their family to a place that they have to be. All of that might change. If you're not able to get food, you're not going to be thinking or worrying about getting your kids to school. Your mind is going to be on getting food. That's a certainty. People are afraid with what's happening to the banks, that they're going to lose their money. Well, the money they have has lost its value now anyway, so for all intents and purposes, they've already lost their money. It's just a number in an account. The fear of what might happen in terms of all these pandemics that they keep advertising. Remember, we had SARS, and that never happened, and we've been told that we were all going to come down with mad cow disease, and that didn't happen. And then we had...
Lyme and West Nile virus.
Yeah, the West Nile virus was a big deal. Of course, they had the Mediterranean fruit fly in Los Angeles for a number of years. And again, it's just one thing after another. They keep creating something in a lab, and then they bring it out, and the people panic. Anything to create fear. And if it's not in that, it's fear about who's going to abduct who's going to be the next victim. All the children that are abducted, and nothing's being done about it. And the government full well knows what's going on because they're involved in it.
It's them doing it all.
Yes. And you have that, and then all the uncertainty about, are people going to lose their jobs? Again, are they going to lose their homes?
Well, these are all legitimate fears, Don. I mean, that's for sure. And if somebody's really feeling the weight of it all, that's only because they haven't been aware enough to prepare to see what's coming down the road 5-10 years ago and even further back, so they could position themselves to be ready for such a change and not be in this exact situation they may be in.
Ultimately, though, don't you think that their unawareness, their lack of awareness about these issues really is because they have been identifying with that part of the matrix that causes one to focus on the material issues and the ego gratification, you know, the idol worship, the me.
Sure, absolutely.
Or the I.
Absolutely. That's the system we're in. It's designed to specifically do that, to achieve that result of keeping people totally distracted from what's really going on and have them just focused very narrowly with their minds, just very narrow on themselves. Me. And just material stuff. Exactly, Don. And they've succeeded at that. They've got an incredibly powerful, structured system that we're trapped in. And if we're not thinking, aware, sentient beings, we will become like those that, you know, we're talking about. And so it's very effective. There are black magicians, and they've got a magic practice down right now that's mind-blowing. But once you see through it all, and you discover your real self, you start to think. And the way that process comes about is by asking why. Like a little kid, start asking why all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I here? And why are things the way they are? And why this? Why that? Why am I sick? Why am I not healthy? Why am I struggling with this? Or why is that? Why are the stars out there? Why for everything? So you start demanding answers to yourself. And then, over time, you'll build up a knowledge base. And with that, your consciousness, your awareness will expand. And then you'll break through and see and perceive everything for what it really is and no longer be trapped in this illusion of me. And also what we're up against as a country, as a people. And simultaneously, we have to understand that we are in this system. That's what the Lord meant by you shall be in the world but not part of the world. Because this world we're in is designed to do one thing, to destroy, to consume, and obliterate. That's what this system does. It chews everything up and spits it out. And so we don't want to get caught up in that. We want to develop our spiritual nature. And then there won't be any kind of natural gravitation towards the dense material nature that the mind can get trapped in. Because everything's in fear, Don. That's the natural world we're in since it's fallen. Everything is in fear. To simply prove it, observe animals in the wild, birds, any kind of animal, when it's eating. And you'll notice that it's not relaxed while it's eating. It's not acting like it's got all the time in the world and it's just idly eating and enjoying the morsel. No. It takes a bite, it takes a nibble, and then it lifts its head up and looks around in fear, looking for something that's going to attack it and eat it. It's in constant fear 24/7. The poor animals are never out of fear, except for the domestic animals for the most part, if they have a good master in a good home. And so anyway, that's the proof that everything is in a perpetual state of fear, simply because with the fallen nature due to our ancestors that fell into the trap by the fallen angels. The fallen angels require fear vibrations as their food source.
Mm-hmm.
Where the good Lord and the Almighty Himself and all the good angels, their vibration is love. Where there's love, that vibration is like food for them. They love that.
Mm-hmm.
So well, we want to become that. The more we become love, which is a power, it's not just a goody-goody, feel, touch thing, you know, oh, I love it. It's a power.
Well, it's even multifaceted. I mean, you could
sure.
you could add peace to the love, because where there is love, there is peace.
Absolutely.
And there is harmony.
That's right.
And there is an indescribable joy. And so there, you know, we call that happiness usually, but...
And they're all intertwined.
Yes.
And once you start working on one, the others automatically start to develop too.
Mm-hmm.
And they come about in your being. And the more you apply it, the more it grows and expands, the more we become it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we become it, the closer we get to our higher self, our real self, which is immortal, everlasting, created by the Almighty. The more we become that, then the less this world has any hold on us or any pull on us. And in fact, if there was more of us like that walking around, we would raise up the fallen nature by our higher energy vibrations, just by our mere presence radiating out. If there was enough of us, it'd be amplified to such an extent that the whole fallen nature would then finally raise up to a higher vibratory rate and become more harmonious, more perfect, more at peace. And that's our job. Fundamentally, when you start asking, why am I here? If you pursue that answer to the full extent of what it is, eventually you'll realize that's why we're here, to bring God's will back on earth. Because we all pray, our Father who art in heaven, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're thinking that he's got to do it without us trying to be involved. But that's not what the Lord taught. We are directly involved. And that's why the Lord showed us how to live a virtuous way, so that the power resides with us due to high energy vibratory activity from living virtuously. The atomic vibrations will all pick up in the frequency.
Well, when he says he gave us dominion over the beast, he meant the beast too. not just the beast. He meant the beast. So
we are definitely angels. We're angels. See, the religions unfortunately fail to teach us why we're here and how it all came about based on religious history.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as the creation of Adam and Eve, it was due to replace the rebellious fallen angels. Because when they rebelled, the Almighty, their dad, said, that's it, I had enough, I'm cutting you off forever. That's a long time. And that's when they became demonic and grotesque, lost their beautiful forms, because they were cut off totally from God. Now, God had a void to fill, and that's where Adam and Eve, mankind, came about, to fill that gap. And that's why the fallen angels have been very, very jealous and didn't waste any time trapping Adam and Eve into the mess that we're in now.
Yeah, I see this. Now, I brought up a topic which really applies to what's going on. And I want to go back to that for a moment, because I see the same ties in these backgrounds. What I'm referring to is the genealogical research that I'm doing. You see, we have a famous baseball catcher. He was the catcher for the New York Yankees for a number of years. And his name is Yogi Berra. And he was great at one-line sayings, like, it ain't over till it's over. that's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. It would appear the game is lost, but that simple little statement, it ain't over till it's over, implies that there are a lot of possibilities for other things to happen. Mm-hmm. Obama is the president-elect. If you had an honest justice system, if you had an honest legislature, honest law enforcement, this guy wouldn't have even been allowed to run.
He'd be in jail right now.
Yes, he would. He would be in jail for fraud, for producing forgeries.
That's right.
Okay, and publishing them.
And that's right. Conducting such a major fraud on the public, the whole country.
Yes. And for that matter, so would McCain.
Yes.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Now, and I'm convinced of that on the basis of having been the one person that brought up more, probably more facts in that regard than anyone else on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, there are people that have, that really have some details. And keep in mind, I, like my listening audience, don't have access to some of these things. These are secret documents. They're in other parts of the world. And yet, I was able to piece together enough information to draw the conclusion, not only is this guy not an American, not only should he not have any business running, that that for this charade to be played on the American people is treasonous, and all of these people should be tried for treason.
Absolutely.
And shame on the people that failed to look at the truth.
See it. Just
yes.
To see the most out. I'm glad you touched on that, Don, because I meant to earlier mention out of anything on this guy, the most glaring, obvious, incredible fact is he's not even an American born. And yet, he's getting away with this.
Yes.
It's outrageous.
Now, I've got new facts coming out, and I've been working feverishly on a story that's, again, it's just like mushrooming, because every time I uncover a fact, it brings four more or 10 more questions to the forefront that have to be answered. And in this particular case, there is definite proof that the story about Kansas is nothing but that, just a story. And I alluded to that in the articles anyway, without the proof that I have now. But I knew I was going to get this proof. And I have information that totally dispels any of the log cabin tales that we've been told. This stuff about Kansas is a joke. And I've got the proof.
And now, in the media just sells it like it's all history.
Oh, you know? Yes. Now, you were mentioning the dark side, the satanic side, and this is prevalent in these people's background. This is not a unjustified accusation that I'm making here. It's their past is replete with these incidents, and it's coming out now in the new information.
Sure, and these guys like G.W. and Slick Willie Clinton and Barry Sotero, a.k.a. Obama, they're simply just little puppets raised up and totally controlled and handled by their overseers, the real dark forces that truly are Luciferians to the core.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm seeing this now. What's interesting is I mentioned, you know, one of my listeners sending me a link that took me to a website where I'm reading and reading, and I see a picture, and I say, whoa, that's the guy I'm trying to hit. That's the guy in the photo.
Imagine that.
It's a 1 in 7 billion shot to have that happen, and it happened. And what's interesting about this individual is this individual supposedly channeled messages from Mars. Okay? He's channeling messages from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And doing this from the 1950s, supposedly from England. Well, I know I have him in a photograph now in 1947 in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
So his story's a lie, you see? In fact,
there was a lot of that kind of activity back then with people claiming contact with other planets, being taken to other planets. There was a lot of activity back then, Don. So there's something to all that as far as the dark forces go.
Yeah.
With the grays and what I know as the intruders.
Mm-hmm.
They're all considered intruders.
Yeah. Well, I know that people can get messages, but I can tell you that there's no one in Mars that's bringing peaceful messages to people. Not at all.
And yeah. You know, these kind of people are under the influence and control of these intruders.
Mm-hmm.
And these Luciferians that control our presidents, our modern day presidents, because they're all just to be where they are right now by the handlers, And these guys are in alliance with the fallen angels. They're all their associates right down to their grays. In fact, the grays are were the initial main interface.
Yes. Now, here's another interesting highlight of the photo. One of the photos that I have, and this is one that I have, which is a group of people meeting together in a restaurant. And it's a fancy restaurant, and they have a roving photographer that stops by their table and takes a picture. And they're all intimate in these. There are three couples, and they're all very intimate in the photograph.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is none of them are with their spouses. They're intimate with each other's spouses.
Yes, there's a problem there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know this because I can identify easily two of the couples, but now because I know who this third person is, I can identify all three couples. And the associations go into the realm of the metaphysical. Mm-hmm. But the dark aspect, like you
I'm
were
sure
talking.
Black, Don, I'm sure they were involved with black magic sex acts.
Oh, yes. One was a chemist, okay? Mm-hmm. One person was a chemist. The other one was being touted as a spiritual master. He's actually referred to by his organization as master.
Wow.
Now, this is someone cavorting around with Obama's so-called grandparents. But another fact that has come out is that the grandparents have had a surreptitious DNA test done on beverage glasses, and the DNA has been checked out, and they're not related to Obama. The CIA knows this.
Really?
Oh, they have to know that anyway, because Stanley Armour Dunham was working with the CIA.
Sure. It's all a cover story to begin with.
Yes, it's a cover story. But it's amazing the facts that now are coming to light, because one must question the basic premise of Obama's story.
Sure.
Okay?
Absolutely. Right from, well, Don, sure, and that brings us right back to the birth certificate. We got to question everything about this clown. If he can't cough up a legitimate birth certificate showing us he's a natural-born American, then everything's questionable, and absolutely right.
Yes.
But nobody, Don, investigates it quite like you do. You get all the nitty-gritty, and what's always amazing, when you pursue something to its fundamental activity, what do you find? Black magic every time. That's what they're all into.
Oh yeah, I have to agree with you that I've seen this, and it goes to Hawaii. I made the association between another couple and the name of an employee at the Bank of Hawaii. You see, this is a serious investigation to discover the truth about who this guy is. That is a crucial issue. And most people don't have the guts to face that. Even after someone else does the research. This is not fiction that's being made up. These are the actual facts. What the public has been presented prior to this research has been fiction.
Sure. And these facts that you're presenting, unfortunately, aren't getting enough support so that more and more people can become familiar with it, acquainted with it, and mm-hmm. then absorb it.
Well,
because the mainstream media, that's all they do. They hammer something into your brain 24/7 like a mantra over and over until everybody's talking and repeating and mimicking exactly what they said.
Yes.
And so, unfortunately, that's how it works, and all the pertinent information that you've discovered exposing this guy is not out there enough, so the public at large has an opportunity to at least hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they didn't even get into the birth certificate issue over the main media. They're all complicit with a cover-up, a scandal, a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Supporting a fraud and selling him to us like he's not a real American born. And it's just incredible.
You see, now this lady is fretting over her son being dragged into a war by this person that we're talking about, you see. It is critical. It is crucial to know who he is.
That's right.
Because he's going to lead, if he's leading you or your family members to a premature death for a lie, for his own personal goals, does that make it right? This fraud that's been perpetrated on us?
That's right. Unlike the previous presidents that, like Slick Willie protesting Vietnam War in Russia, and G.W., AWOL, in the National Guard it was?
Yeah.
And AWOL, and during the Vietnam War. And yet, when they both become president, they have the nerve to send our young men and women into harm's way, into battle, and knowing full well that they're not many are coming back intact.
Well, it was known that he was in Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia selling drugs.
Who's
during
that
missing time that he was supposed to be in the National Guard.
Is that right? That's where he was?
Oh, yeah, he was seen there.
His dad had him busy at work at a young age.
Actually, Richard Nixon had a program called SUMS, S-U-M-S, and he was one of the pilots that was traveling around the world, moving the drugs around to finance all of the covert activities that they needed extra cash for.
Sure.
So those stories eventually come to bite them in the rear end, eventually.
So in those instances, you have traitors that were protesting wars, they were cowards to participate in, and then when they become president, they have the nerve to send young men and women into battle. But now we've got a guy that's not even American born, not even an American, who's going to say, Americans, I need your sons and daughters to go over there and fight for freedom. We got to free those people over there, and they're going to help keep us free here, and all that happy nonsense. It's all UN global warfare to bring about a one world order, people, period.
Yeah, exactly.
If you haven't heard the word globalism over and over and over from the mainstream media by now with their mantra, global this, global that, globalism, it's global baloney. That's what it really is, global baloney.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we got a guy that's not even natural born American that's going to send our military into harm's way. What? It's unacceptable.
Completely. He's not even a citizen. You know,
yeah.
He's not naturalized. He's never gone through anything to be an American citizen.
Where's our military, Don? Where are they? That's what I'm perplexed. As a old warrior, let's say.
Let's talk about that when we come back from our break, which we have to take right now. Okay?
You got it.
You're listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And our special guest, Michael Anthony, and yours truly, Don Nikoloff, will return after a couple of short messages. Don't go away.
A monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powdered seeds and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And you're listening to a new track from my upcoming CD. This is called False Flag. And I felt all these false flag events, we needed a song to remind us of what false flag events are all about. And it's got a lot of anger in it, a little bit of insanity in the horn parts,
the frustration.
Yeah. Tension.
Yes.
But resolve also.
Yeah, there you go.
And anyway, welcome back to the show. Michael, we're talking about, for anyone that's just joined us, we're talking about all of this madness that's going on here, and we've got a Congress, a Senate, a judiciary, law enforcement, and you even brought up military, that's totally ignoring the treason that's going on and all of the rampant corruption. We're really watching a bunch of gangsters that are, you know, they might as well have on their fedoras and be driving around in their wide walls, you
yes.
know.
And also wearing their masks.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you want to talk about shapeshifters. This family is replete with them. We've talked about that on other shows, and I have to tell you, even from the photographs that I've seen, the progression of these families through time, they look different every time a set of pictures is taken.
That's peculiar.
And, well, it's peculiar, but it's also par for the course. You know, we saw this in George H.W. Bush in a set of childhood photos, and also his Navy photo. The day before he became a war hero, he looked very, very different. very different.
Strange.
And that those photos are right now are on Ken Adachi's website. He's got a whole story that he did on that because we found some entities in the that photo. And so there are all kinds of metaphysical manifestations on these people and around them. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have a picture from Indonesia, which I realized was a color photo, and I restored the color in it. And when we did that, all these anomalies appear on Barack Obama's body.
And you have that posted on your site, right, Don?
I have the original photo is in the article. However, Ken Adachi did an expose after I sent that to him. Actually, I need to post his story, really.
Yes, definitely, because we did
crops of these anomalies in the photo.
How about the medallion?
And he's wearing, yes, this is an interesting sidelight to this whole thing. He's wearing a medallion of a gray alien.
There you go.
It's an abstract image of a gray alien, but nonetheless it represents a gray alien.
And when do you figure that photo was taken?
Well, I discern that the photo was taken probably when he was about 9 going on 10 years old. They claim the photo, this is what's interesting, we hear 1970, 1971, 1972, we get all kinds of different dates. If one were to add up all the years that he was supposedly in 4 years of school in Indonesia, there's at least 8 years that possibly could have transpired. The story is so ridiculous on all fronts.
What's interesting is if it's 1970 circa, that's around the time that grays were becoming more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
As far as people experiencing them.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. Because here you got a guy as a kid with a medallion of a gray. And, I mean, who knew about grays back then? It was just starting then.
I mean, this is a lot for the listening audience to handle if they haven't been following this story. I mean, they're hearing now, what, Barack Obama was wearing a medallion of a gray alien? Simple answer, yes.
Go look at the photo.
Yes.
Ken Adachi's site.
Yeah, now, I gave the photo to Ken when I restored it to color, okay? And what was interesting is I have a way to look at the photo forensically, and I can tell you if it was a fresh photo taken from a particular camera, I can tell you that, or if it was put into Photoshop and manipulated, I can tell you that. Actually, that photo was put into Photoshop 3 different times and manipulated. And it explicitly describes what was done to change the photo to try to hide these anomalies that I'm talking about.
Right.
and they used this photo in one of his TV commercials one day. And I turned on the TV to see what they were reporting. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. And CNN came on, and they were showing a commercial, and they showed part of that photo. And it was in black and white, and on TV, blown up real big, you can see him shape-shifting. He's shape-shifting, and this is not imagination. He's doing it.
You know, it's definitely overwhelming for those not familiar with this. However, something weird is going on when you observe those photos.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it.
Now, when it's restored to color, and I mean distinct color, I just raised the color drive on the photo, one lever, okay? I brought it up to the center, and what happened is the wall turned a sort of a tomato red, and his shirt turned yellow with blue stripes. Pretty good representation of the color. The chair was mahogany. You could see reptilians and dragons and serpents carved into the frame of the chair that they were sitting on. And it had sort of a wicker type of seat on it. And the whole frame, the back, the front, the sides, everything was this really detailed carving. And I'm looking at the carving and I'm thinking to myself, this looks very Malaysian in origin.
Yes.
It looks Malaysian. And then all the facts started coming out that they weren't in Indonesia. They were in Malaysia just by the job that Lolo Satoro had and the fact that nobody in Indonesia even knew them. And we get all these contradictions about Stanley Yan's teaching English at the embassy, but she had to enroll Barack in a special school so he could learn English. It doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't she teach him English?
Sure. Nothing of their stories ever seems to make sense.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
And now I have information that she went to kindergarten and first grade in Oklahoma City. I have the names of two towns and two schools, including the names of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well,
I know the name.
That you got a guy here that not only after we are supposedly in a war on terrorism going after a guy named Osama bin Laden, and we go into Iraq and capture Saddam Hussein and hang him, then we elect a guy named Barack Hussein Obama. Besides that incredible irony.
Now we have Obama Joe Biden.
Yes.
Osama
yes.
bin Laden,
right,
Obama
right.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's it's incredible. It's so ironic. And aside from all that, this guy has come out of nowhere, became senator of Illinois, and just served one term, and then becomes president. Now, before he became senator, he was not a congressman. And then he becomes senator, and just after one term is our president. That doesn't happen unless the Rockefellers are greasing your wheels all the way.
Oh, yes. And
you
they, of course.
That, you yeah. confirm that the family ties with the Rockefeller through employment, and you cover all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the obvious proof to everybody should be the fact of what I just said, that this guy comes out of nowhere, shooting star, senator, president. That doesn't happen. Try it. See how far you get. It just doesn't happen unless the Rockefellers are behind you and they're fast-tracking you all the way. And just like when he was traveling around with your report on how he moved around a lot, where did he get the money for all that? He's a poor guy. How does he travel around? Where does he get all the money?
Well, see, they're trying to claim that Prince Al-Awil Al-Talal of Saudi Arabia actually funded the money. That prince and the Queen of England funded $6.2 trillion that's sitting in the banks in New York, part of this Wantagate ping pong ball. Part of $14 trillion that's sitting in a bank while they're stealing more trillions from the American taxpayers.
Isn't that something, huh?
You know, this is... So that question is answered. That question has already been answered, and I've been talking about that for the past 2 years.
Right.
This is not new.
It's all connected. It's amazing.
Yeah, so yes. What they're doing is they're basically condoning a further bank robbery is all they're doing with this.
John, these guys are bank robbers. They're modern-day pirates. That's what they do.
Yes.
So we can never be surprised at their looting activity. But nonetheless, you know, this guy came out of nowhere, shooting star, and now he's our president.
Mm-hmm.
And if that, you know, most Americans didn't even catch on to that obvious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So obvious. And that's why it's scary for our country as far as the people sleeping at the wheel here. And getting back to what you really want to discuss, and that is for those that care and they want to do something, the only thing you can do is help yourself. If we all help ourselves constructively and support each other and help each other in any way we can so that as a country we can solidify our base, reestablish constructive activity in which we break away from this counterfeit system and just function in God's system.
Yes.
Living free, at peace, and in harmony with His creation.
Yes, I wanted to bring that up too. I'm glad you did. The bottom line of all of this that I'm describing is if we do nothing about it, are we not condoning this? We're actually aiding and abetting in this whole process.
I agree.
If we just turn our heads as if it's not happening. Now, you have the people out there, we want to wish him well. He's the president. Not yet. Mm-hmm. He's not the president. He's what's called the president-elect.
And if he's not a U.S. citizen, how can he be our president, no matter what?
And everything they're trying to do is an attempt to legitimize him, knowing full well that they've got a big problem here.
It's a major fraud going on here.
Yes, yes. So now we get into the aspect of, okay, if we don't condone this, then what do we do? Well, okay. If you're going to live virtuously, then you have to recognize the truth, and that comes to the very first night, last Thursday, when we began talking about agreeing to meet together to take on responsibility, mm-hmm. individually and then collectively, in an awake fashion, not out of fear. This isn't about fear. People in fear are going to deny this. They're going to run away. They're going to pretend like this isn't going to happen. They're going to tell you if you put your attention on it, you're adding to it, and you're going to make it stronger. Well, ignoring it doesn't fix it.
You have that, Don, and then you have the other part of that problem is that due to the overwhelming negative energy that people are facing, dealing with, they feel there's nothing they can do. It's too overwhelming. I can't really do anything to change it. And that's the mistake. Because, sure, at the individual level, if we're all conducting ourselves, our affairs, all of our activities in a proper fashion, whereas everything is harmonious with creation, and there's nothing negative going on, and our thoughts are positive, our words are positive, and our actions are positive, then positive things come to you at the individual level. And if you're doing it, I'm doing it, and everybody else around us are doing it, then it's going to amplify. And it will become the norm again for people throughout the country. And from that, a power will come out of this that will bring back all of the blessings that this country was intended to have. Productivity, great ideas, great inventions will begin to take off again, and a whole new era will open up for this country, because this country is still the apple of the Lord's eye. And it's hard to believe. A lot of people may refute that, saying that's impossible. We're so steep in sin now, it's impossible. And I say, yes, we're steep in sin as a nation. However, the Lord still loves this country. If he didn't, we wouldn't be here right now. They already would have taken us over. They've been after us for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And still couldn't get us. But they're closing in now. They can taste blood, and they're closing in. But the Lord wants to step right in and bless us again. But the only way we can deserve that is by living virtuously. So that's where it comes down to the individual level. So how do I do it, for example? Well, in all my dealings with everybody throughout the day, I'm always constructive. I remember one time walking through a long corridor at IBM, and it was early in the morning, and I was passing a fellow employee that I was in my department. So I smiled and said, good morning. It's about 7:30 in the morning, and I smiled and said, good morning. And she stopped and said, you're always smiling. And nobody can be happy all the time. It's just not right. She says, you got to be a phony. And I said, oh, really? I said, I could be in a terrible mood right now. Terrible mood, but I'm not letting you know that. Why should I? If I have a problem, that's my problem. I'm not going to dump it on you. So when I see you, I say, good morning. How are you? Even though I might be miserable on the inside at that moment. And so that's how we have to be. A spiritual warrior, just focused in positive living all the time, coping with our personal issues in a personal way, but not imposing it on others. It's, if I have a problem, then I have to fix the problem. And I can't dump that problem on somebody else and be emotional when I'm feeling miserable, because it's not going to be constructive. And if there's not construction in your activity, then there's no real power being generated. It'll be just negative energy that's going to come back to haunt you and keep your life in a frazzled kind of manner. And so by always trying to properly conduct ourselves when we're amongst our fellow brothers and sisters, and also in nature itself, I'm kind to all the animals, and they know that. And so I have nothing to fear, no matter where I go. Wild animals, people's other dogs. I get it all the time. Mike, that dog would never, ever be that way with you. Usually they'll growl and bark. Or that cat will never go to anybody, and yet I can't believe it just walked up to you like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it is when you're living constructively, virtuously, and then power's being generated. All the animals know that power. They sense it, they feel it, and they want to share in that. That's why they come to me, and I share it with them.
Oh, yeah, I've always had that same kind of relationship with animals. You see it right away. People will say, well, he'll tear most people's heads off. I can't believe that he's coming up to you and licking you.
Don, yeah. Sure. And there's the evident, tangible proof to anybody with eyes to see. Well, how come? Because that animal knows, definitely knows, for sure, without a doubt, you're good. And it senses that, and it wants to share in that goodness, because it's a creature of God, too. And God is the source of all goodness. And so by living in that kind of fashion, where I don't take too much from life, but I'm always putting back to life, that's the key. If you really want to get power in a highly amplified way.
In an integral way, yeah.
That's the key. Because life itself is a bank. We either have credit or debt. Credit means you're not taking too much, but you're putting in a lot. Debt is just the inverse. You're taking a lot, putting back very little. Now, how does that come back? In good luck or bad luck, good karma, bad karma. If you have a lot of credit in the bank of life, been giving and giving, taking very little, life owes you. Life is a living system. It knows it owes you, and it will return those favors. As the Lord said, as ye sow, so shall ye reap.
Mm-hmm.
And so life will return that back to you. And if you have a lot of debt coming your way, then get ready to pay those debts as well, because life is going to come to collect. So once we learn that simple concept and apply it and see how real it is, then start living that way, utilizing this law for your own advantage, so only good luck starts to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if we all have this quote-unquote good luck, that's really power. It's power coming into your life. Use that power for goodness now, and then it'll grow even greater. Now, if we're all operating at that level of activity, this country will start off into a golden age that will be just incredible. And so that's really all there is to it. When you give a word, an oath, you better uphold it. Otherwise, do not give it. Because that's so key to your spiritual power. And you know how many people out there give oaths? They get married, then they cheat. Or they give an oath for this, like our congressmen and senators and president.
That's the biggest farce right there.
It sure is. They're giving us an oath, and yet they're breaking it every single day, and nobody's questioning that. Just like if a married person, when they get married and they give an oath and a vow and they start breaking it, then everybody will eventually have to acknowledge it. You can't ignore it. And then something happens. A consequence occurs. But there's never consequences for our trusted representatives in government, is there?
No, there isn't. Now, Michael, not to change the subject, I got an email from one of our listeners, Middle Yayas, asking if I have the San Diego Nazi base link. And I know somewhere I have it, but I don't want to disrupt our communication here, which may happen. We'll get some jitter on the line if I go hitting a search engine for that. I'm wondering, do you have the web address at your disposal?
No, but instead of that, just do a Google.
Yeah,
just type in swastika building at U.S. Navy base. Just type that string in Google, and you'll have so many selections. Start at the first one, which will say Google Satellite, and start right there. Open it up, and you'll see the photograph.
Well, yeah, that's. I know there's several ways to get to it. You could. I think you can say San Diego swastika too. I think it comes up that way.
I always do swastika at U.S. Navy base.
Then you come up with like 50 bases that have it, you know.
Yeah, that's scary, Don. I never got past Coronado.
You might be
right. Oh, my gosh, you might be right.
And Coronado, believe it or not, is the base that John McCain's grandfather returned from World War II. And died upon his return, like the next day.
Yeah, see that?
We have these events that keep occurring also that just, they're way beyond the odds of them happening, happening the way they're described, you know?
Sure, yes.
So, anyway, I mentioned that, just because it seems like every time an issue comes up, there's a synchronous event going with it at the same time. But
yes, there's all kinds of synchronicities around these occurrences, Don, and that's part of the phenomena.
Yes.
You know, the nature of these activities, because everything's magical.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so numb to living and being alive. For example, everyone's got to get to the point where they can say to the Almighty, "Thank you for letting me be alive and participating in your creation." Because I didn't create the creation. I didn't create even me. And yet here I am in this wondrous world of all kinds of natural activities that are beyond random coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's by grand design. And here I am participating in it. Regardless of my circumstances, I'm still appreciating the fact that I'm here participating in his creation. It's incredible. Now, just that concept, by dwelling on it, will cause spiritual growth in everyone.
Yeah. Now, while I'm listening to you, I'm thinking of how this, what you're saying, plays into the bigger picture. If we tend to think more in terms of the microcosm than the macrocosm. We want to think of the smallest common denominator possible, without creating too much work for ourselves. And so we stay within very restricted areas in our thinking, in our creativity, in our imagination. And this is why it's so easy to keep us inside the matrix.
Sure, that's the old axiom, what God creates, man divides.
Yes.
And that's what we do. And what happens is we get lost in the little details. We no longer see the whole.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a deep forest. Now we can't even see the forest because of all the trees.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm getting at now is that we see what controls us or what has an immediate effect on our daily lives. And we voice our discontent with that. And we don't really look beyond that. As soon as the problem changes or the effect of the problem changes enough in a particular direction, and I'm not saying that it's solved at all. I'm just saying until it moves in a direction that doesn't seem to affect us, we're upset. But then when that occurs, we're back to normal again.
Okay, so that's because primarily of the hectic rat race kind of system we're in now, where everybody's rush, rush, rush.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're eating, you're in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to step back and get away from that counterfeit system the best we can. Now, it's not easy. You got a family. Kids got to get to school, this and that. You got to get to work. And the spouse has to get to work. And so rush, rush, rush. And so do the best you can at starting to break away from that so that when it's time to eat, you can relax and enjoy what you're eating and make sure it's wholesome so you're building up your body temple and not destroying it. You'll never have spiritual power if your body is not a temple. That's pretty much one of the fundamental rules to the whole process. And aside from that, when it's time to eat, relax, enjoy it, breathe in deep, and experience it. So you're thanking the Almighty for that nourishment, because that's a powerful activity in itself when it's time to eat and to ingest nourishment for the body temple. That is a magical act in itself. It's really good to give acknowledgement to the Almighty when you do it. And that's also going to help develop your spiritual nature and get power into your life when you practice that.
Oh yeah, and it's a true gratitude for, the meal, and really without all the diversions. You know, there's a lot of people that sit in front of the television set while they're eating, and they're engrossed in that frequency that is so foreign to what they're eating. And that's, imagine if they're eating a food of a high vibration, the mixture of vibrations that's going on. It has to be unhealthy.
Yep, it is, Don, because the mind isn't even focused on what the individual is doing.
Yeah.
To the body, the mind is distracted by something external, while an internal activity, which is a magical process, is being conducted. And so you can't get the power out of it when you're operating like that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And so, by simply following these little kinds of concepts, you'll be amazed the impact it'll have in your life. And it's going to be gradual in the beginning. Like anything, you've got to take your little baby steps, then you learn how to walk better, then eventually you're running with it.
Yeah.
You want to get to the running part as fast as possible. Especially with the way the world is going right now. You've got to have a lot of power around you so that the fear, the panic, and the negative cycle of energy that's going to come back, because what goes around comes around, as you sow, so shall you. Everybody's going to get what's coming to them. So you want to get that your spiritual nature in a very powerful place as fast as possible so that you have good things coming back to you.
Yeah. Michael, we're going to take a short break here and come back and get into this topic a little bit more. In the meantime, you are listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Michael Anthony, and I, Don McLaughlin, will be right back. So don't go away.
Hey, everybody. This is your new friend, Julio. And I'm talking to you because I like to listen to BBSRadio.com. I sneak over the border every day. And I go see my girlfriend. She got a computer. Come on now. Sing it, girls.
Storable food. Storable food. HempUSA.org has an inexpensive, nutritionally dense, high-frequency food. Hemp, known around the world, will boost your immune system and increase energy levels. Detoxifies the body and reduces junk food cravings. Burns fat and builds muscle. And is easy to digest, non-allergenic, and gluten-free. Can be made into smoothies, breads, muffins, pancakes, cookies, you name it. The entire planet should make this a staple food in their diet. The seeds will scrape the colon wall. The powder will feed the body vital minerals. And the oil will clean the arterial walls and feed the brain. Try our powder, seeds, and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org. That's 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. Remember, vacuum packaging this food will have at least a 5-year shelf life stored in a cool, dark, dry place. Holidays are coming, and this would make a perfect gift for friends and family. Call today. 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and your medicine be your food.
Evident Footprints, second segment of the second hour, and our special guest, Michael Anthony, is with us. There's that song about our boogeyman, Michael.
Very nice, John.
Yeah, I got this, Osama bin Laden sounded so much like American Woman to me, you know, so I had to, it's really crazy song. Just to remind us to be a little bit lighthearted about all this insanity, because we could also lose our minds just as easily as our leaders have.
Yes, sir, Don. In fact, those that pursue the truth will have a lot more mental gymnastic work to do, and you could snap if you're not well grounded and balanced spiritually. Because the truth is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
When you really accumulate a lot of it, it's very overwhelming. But as long as you're ready for it, you process it correctly by being spiritually balanced and grounded, It'll all fall into the right place. You'll assimilate it all properly, and you'll become much better for having.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth does set us free.
Yeah. Now, in another way, again tonight, you know, we're sharing with the listening audience some ways that we can look at this stuff and be empowered. And I really truly mean be empowered. People think, well, I'm just one person. You know, they have all the guns. What can I do? You see, we're thinking the way they think when we ask or when we make those types of deductions. Mm-hmm. May be true that they have all the guns. It may very well be true. Seems to me I remember a biblical story where an army marched around the walls of Jericho, and I think just the vibration of all those people walking together could be enough to cause those walls to implode.
Sure, Don, absolutely. And even more modern, look at General George Washington, when actually he was Colonel Washington for the British Army in the French and Indian Wars, and down at that battle in Pittsburgh area.
Mm-hmm.
And all the British were decimated. George got shot four times, opened up his coat, and yet four musket balls penetrated his coat, and yet he never got harmed. Now, how did that happen? Because George was truly quite a virtuous individual. Enough virtue where power afforded that protection. And then, during the Revolutionary War, numerous times when General George Washington's army was cornered, like in Manhattan, by the British, and the Revolutionary War would be over, a fog came out of nowhere so fast, on a midsummer day, mind you, that was so thick you couldn't see the hand in front of your face, and it enabled Washington's army to escape. And that happened quite often. The British were writing about it back to the king. So how does that come about? Because power was residing over these individuals, as imperfect as they were. Divine providence was manifesting clearly to everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't changed.
Now, you remember me...
In
the past, when you mentioned this story about the musket balls, I did deduce that quite possibly the guy that was doing the shooting got a hold of some bad musket balls. But it really doesn't matter. It's still divine providence there. That's the point.
I'm escaping that conclusion.
Yeah, I'm being a smart aleck, but
that's okay.
It's another way that we can look at things too. We accept everything as a foregone conclusion. Too often we make that mistake. I really feel it's we're in error when we do that. That we don't consider what all the possibilities are.
That's right, Don. People are just scanning the surface of everything. They're never looking underneath or behind to
mm-hmm.
see what's really there. Or, they don't follow the branches or the roots to their source, so they understand exactly what they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. But nothing's changed. Those that are virtuous have power around them, and that power protects. All the time. Car accidents, motorcycle accidents, totally fine.
Yes. Now, we've been talking about, false personas, the masks and all the different ways that these people present themselves other than who they really are. And what came to my mind just now was this fact that, you know, there's been this huge controversy. Only on the internet, they're not bringing this up on mainstream at all, about Obama's birth certificate. Now, people can say, well, what are you going to do? He's the president-elect. Excuse me, there's been a crime committed.
Thank you.
If there's been a murder committed, are you going to say, but he's the president-elect?
That's right.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. He's the president-elect.
Yes. So I add that to the mix, because there are actually four murders.
Good, Don.
Four murders and this issue of the birth certificate. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So now we've got a foreigner that in some way, directly or indirectly, is involved in four murders. This is what the evidence shows. Three of them are at the Trinity United Church of Christ, related to the homosexual affair that Larry Sinclair had. It's related to it.
Well, you know, since the Clintons, none of this is surprising. I mean, we've had the Bush family, and that's the norm, and the Clintons, so it's no surprise. These guys are dirty, very dirty.
Then we have a satanic sacrifice of a baby in the state of Maryland that resulted in a piece of real estate being given to the aliases of Obama and his partners in the name of the victim of the satanic sacrifice and the life estate of such victim that lived a total of 56 days, has a life estate for living 56 days, but having given her life to a satanic ritual.
Mm-hmm. Well, there goes the black magic practices again that I pointed out earlier, you see?
Yes. Oh, and it goes beyond that. But there's an address with this, okay? This is a provable fact. It's provable.
Mm-hmm. And the media is not touching it.
The media won't touch it, and law enforcement so far is not touching it, but I will keep bringing it up. I will mention it enough times, and I can tell you that there are people looking at it. There are some people looking at it. Now, whether this is going to grow legs or wings is another issue.
God willing.
But what's interesting again is the real estate corrupt money laundering activities that I uncovered in my initial investigation are being supported by the information coming out of Oklahoma City with the Dunhams. They have everything to do with this, you see? Mm-hmm. And this is the major issue going on in the United States right now, is real estate corruption.
Sure.
This is one of the players that's just been elected to the presidency. One of the players. This is criminal, what we're talking about.
And the one that he's replacing is a player. And the one that he replaced is a player.
Absolutely. And all the people working underneath them, their underlings,
they're
are all players.
And there's
two. And if you throw in pedophilia, you can probably start finding some of the kids.
Yes.
You see, I mean, it's one thing after another connected.
Yeah, they're just filthy people.
So
dirty. They have no souls left. That's how dirty they are.
Mm-hmm. So these are the facts behind what has occurred or what is occurring. Now, how does someone deal with it? Well, most people say, well, you know, I'm one person. I don't really want to get involved in this. You're talking about your country here. You're talking about maybe you ending up in a concentration camp,
mm-hmm.
or with a bullet in the back of your head,
and your whole family being drafted.
Yes, and this isn't my intention to create fear.
And
I'm not the one putting these stories out.
That's right. I mean, we're just covering what they're telling us is coming.
Well, yeah, and much of this there's evidence of, too.
I mean, the draft stuff's already been in place since GW's taken over.
Yes.
And so Obama's talking about it. He's clearly talking about it. And so what's there to be surprised about? And
well,
so, right, Don, you're not generating the fear. I'm not generating it. We're just telling people, here's their plan, and as you come to terms with it, it's going to cause fear, but don't go there. Transform it. Turn everything into constructive, positive energy through virtuous living in everything you think, say, and do 24/7.
Yeah, that's going to direct you into your God-given sovereignty and where your true power lies.
Right. Precisely.
And you are going to be able to tap into your creativity via your imagination.
Yep, you got it. And use it.
Yes.
As you tap into it, you have to use it. If you don't start applying it, then you're going to miss it. That's what the Lord referred to about seeking the kingdom of heaven, which was an expanding power within us. The kingdom of heaven's within you. It's an expanding power within us. Once we get the power going, and we have to use it so it continues to expand. If we don't use it, it won't continue to expand, and we will be considered useless.
Mm-hmm.
Because to those whom much is given, much is required.
Yes. Now, a lot of people ask, well, where am I going to find this courage to do that? I understand what it is, but I don't have that courage. And I tell them, look inside. You have to look inside. You're not going to find it outside of yourself.
That's right.
And you've got to figure out a way to get out of the matrix. You have to make the decision that you're going to get out of the matrix, first of all.
That's right. You've got to find your real self within. Your real self within has all the answers because it's your divine over-self. The direct connection to the Almighty that created us because we're sparks from Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that real self, that inner you, will have the courage to handle all your obstacles, all your problems, to help resolve them perfectly, the way God resolves anything. It just goes away, everything's perfect again. So you have to find that inner you. That's the Holy Grail, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going to discover. It's the Holy Grail, your higher self, the magic presence, your divine, immortal nature that the Almighty Himself created, and we are directly extensions from Him.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Michael. If you go to your bank and let's say you present a $100 bill to a cashier and you ask for change. You say, I'm trying to buy something next door at the gas station, and they don't have change for this. Could I have 20s, right? So they give you 5 20s. You go over to the gas station, you hand the cashier a $20 bill, and you buy $20 worth of gasoline, and they grab a pen, and they make a mark on the bill to make sure that the bill is legitimate.
Yes.
And you just got this from the bank, mind you.
Right.
And you're asking yourself, I mean, I don't know that most people even go through this, but I ask myself, what kind of mentality is behind this? Because they know who's making the money and who's putting the money out. And is there really any difference between a counterfeit bill and a Federal Reserve note? Actually, the counterfeit's probably worth more. in the reality of what's going on.
Well, sure, Don. The real counterfeiters are the Federal Reserve, right?
Exactly.
It's hilarious when they talk about, well, we gotta pursue counterfeiters.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Who are the counterfeiter?
Yeah. Now there's an example of a way that they police this. They have the people that are working in the businesses now are all of a sudden forensic policemen. You know, they're experts on determining if these are counterfeit bills.
It's a simple test. It's
yes.
A simple test.
Okay, and they have that little yellowish gold pen that writes, and if it doesn't write, it's a phony bill. Now, we've been given an example of a birth certificate from Hawaii that underneath where it says father's race, it says African. Now, African is not a race.
Yes.
And that one word shows that document is fictitious.
One
word.
Mm-hmm. That's an error.
Yes. It's a big mistake.
It sure is.
Okay? It's a foot in your mouth type of mistake. Or drop your drawers kind of mistake, you know.
Can't those idiots get anything right? I tell you, they're a bunch of Gomer piles.
Yeah. But so what do we have there? We have a perfect example of a fraud, and it's glaring. I don't really hear many people bring up the issue that the word is not even a word that is appropriate in any time period to be there.
Sure. Right.
Because you have people that are living in Africa who are Caucasians.
Sure.
Okay? In South Africa, you have people, a whole lot of people who are Caucasians, originally from Holland.
Yes.
Okay, so, or the Netherlands, whatever your preference is. So these names or these words or these clues that these are frauds are there, and even the mainstream media doesn't say anything about it. You think they would be incensed. Well, they're playing a different role. It's up to us to awaken, and it's up to us to determine what we're going to do. Are we going to say, well, it's the media? I mean, how much power does Katie Couric have over you?
Or any other...
Or Wolf Blitzer or Matt Lauer or Dan Rather or any of these...
Right. Any BoobTube channel, that's right. Come on, people.
How much... Or the TV Teletubbies, are they the ones that you're really afraid of? I know they look pretty spooky. And it's some awful, strange behavior, you know, even for a little infant.
Okay, and that for kids? Okay.
Oh, it's on PBS, yeah. It's like...
That's a government channel.
Actually, it's symbolic of these are gay marionettes that are walking around in their own bodies.
Don't want to hear any more, Don. I heard enough.
Yeah, and this is
government for you. That's government entertainment for you.
And I say that because the symbology that they have on their headgear is giving these clues away, you see. Mm-hmm. So it's as close... Actually, it's beyond being mentally disabled. It's way beyond that.
Yeah, they're just trying to reduce us as individuals into our most primitive, basic, carnal nature, and that's all they're after. I mean, there's no other excuse for all that. The boob tube, waste of time. Yeah. Unless it's History Channel or Discovery Channel or something, you know, entertaining, good movie or sports that you really want to watch. Otherwise, just keep that thing off.
Picture something in a red costume that looks like 90s, you know, with the little sleeper feet, you know, and popping out of a hole in the ground, okay, with an antenna on the head. And then going back in and giggling, and I mean, it's just mindlessness. And they're exposing kids to this.
Oh.
Okay, so...
It's done to so many kids already.
Yes. But I use that as an example because this is the type of stuff that's on TV. And there's not a lot of distinction between that PBS program and what they show on the mainstream networks. Now, people have submitted their power to this mindlessness.
Sure.
I heard someone talking about Bob Saget's jokes on the original America's Funniest Home Videos. Now, what's interesting, Michael, is I know Bob Saget very well. Bob used to work our comedy clubs, and he's a brilliant comedian, but not on that show. That show is Dumb Down the People show, and he didn't really get to do any of his stand-up comedy routines, which are very original. His style is very original, and he's very talented. What we get on that show and the mindlessness if there was a TV show that the sheeple got their name, it was the audience in that show that gave us the name Sheeple. It's like watching people clap or applaud like seals in a circus, watching the responses of the people. There is definitely something missing there. And the people are laughing at the demise of people. We're talking about babies falling out of high chairs, landing on their head, and grown-ups are laughing at this.
That's not good.
Or people falling off of bicycles nearly breaking their neck.
Serious injuries, yes.
Yes. You see, this is designed to desensitize us.
Sure.
And to just cause us to be really brain dead about these things. It goes beyond any emotion.
Absolutely right.
And do I sit there watching these things? No. You know, I'll scan just to see, to get the fix on What are they doing to the people
what
today?
They're selling, right. And then that's it. When you see where they're selling that garbage, you just get out of it, move along.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Quick.
I can't sit and watch it. I've become disgusted with what I see.
Absolutely, Don. You got it.
It's not about the content of what we're seeing so much as it is to the game and the psyops that's being done on the audience, and because they show the audience through this whole thing, the home audience, the people out there in Never Never Land watching this stuff.
Yeah. That's why they call them programs, Don.
Yes.
Because they're programming us.
Oh, yes.
And that's the medium in which they can enter our homes and do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I heard a guy on a Patriot Network tonight commenting about Bob Saget. Of course, the guy probably wasn't aware of Bob's career outside of that and him being on Full House with Dave Coulier, and who I also know. I know a lot of comedians, a lot of famous comedians, because of, you know, the work I've done in the entertainment
sure.
industry.
Right. Sure.
But they're brilliant guys, and they're regular guys.
That's great.
What's amazing is that when they get them on TV, you would think they're totally different people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make the connection, having seen their originality and their creativity. They're doing someone else's bidding there. And yeah. they do that to be able to work, to earn a living.
That's
and it's
right.
a shame.
Sure it is.
It's really a shame that that has to occur.
Yes, it is. I would go and dig ditches before I did something I wouldn't want to do. Even pursuing jingles. Mike, just do jingles in the meantime to pay the bills, and that way you're still active with your music stuff. What are you kidding? I don't care about writing music for a product I don't give a hoot about. I don't care how much they pay me. I won't do it. I don't care if they offered me $1 million. I wouldn't do it. Well, hold on. Let me double think that one.
A million, you might do it.
Yeah, I might do it.
A couple
for a million
of notes,
anyway. But I went back and started digging ditches and built up things again, just, you know, without selling myself out, feeling like I was selling my soul, doing something I didn't want to do. I just did it for the money itself.
Exactly. Well, there's a way to put integrity in that, even...
Sure.
Even if you're doing it for one of the Illuminati food companies,
mm-hmm.
you know, you take the golden arches and turn them 90 degrees to the right, and you have the number 13. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is. But that's a good number, 13.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it happens to be one that they like to use, too, to get us...
Of course. It's a powerful number.
Yeah, to get us ingrained in the system. And if it were all that great, do you think they would they'd really be able to just come right out and tell us about it?
That's right.
If they think we're really all that dumb, wouldn't it make sense?
They reveal a lot, Don. That's for sure.
Oh, I know they do.
Yes. And the public's just not astute enough to catch on to what they're even telling them.
Mm-hmm.
When they tell them right to the face, this is what's coming, and the people still, you know.
Well, and it raises that big question. How can someone in that state of mind be living a virtuous life?
Well, you can't be. You're too hung up on yourself still. And when you discover the way of living virtuously, you lose yourself. So you find your real self. Once you have the real self, then you'll never be engaged in those kinds of activities and thoughts. It's impossible. And you won't dwell on it, that's for sure. You know, cross your mind, okay, but to dwell on it, indulge, no.
Yeah, to cross your mind and hope to die.
Yeah, just realize...
Well, I'm just making the pun on cross your heart, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, these thoughts will cross our minds. That's for sure. But don't indulge in them. Focus on your higher self and being virtuous. What is virtuous? It's the seven virtues compared to the seven vices.
Mm-hmm.
Pursue the seven virtues and master them. When you have all seven down, you will be what you've always wanted to be. Your real self will be crystallizing quite mm-hmm. well in your being. Power will avail itself to you quite a bit.
Yes. Now, I received an email. Actually, I think I got this yesterday. I got this email from one of the listeners that was listening in, about a week ago, called into the show at the end of the night. I think you might have been on that night, in fact.
That Paul?
If you remember getting a late call.
Oh, yeah, there was... is it Chaya?
No, this was Noella.
Oh,
and okay. And there's an account of some metaphysical experiences here. One was sort of a running to catch the bus type of event. And there was an intercession. She was about to be run over by another bus.
Oh.
And spared that, of course. And then there was another event where there was an entity that appeared in the house in the middle of the night.
Okay.
And it was one of those events where she didn't want to look to see who it was that had come into the house. We have these things happen to us. Many people. Now, I have to say, you know, I've had my share of metaphysical or paranormal experiences.
Right.
And in the presence of some other people too. And so, I mean, you rub your eyes and you realize, no, this is happening for a reason. There's something happening here. Usually it results in one's consciousness being opened, or at least one becoming more aware of what's already there.
Yeah, it's the changes that are coming are promoting these kinds of experiences as well. Mm-hmm. So they're becoming more frequent, more common, and it's just part of the sign of the times of what's coming this way and what we're in store for.
Mm-hmm.
And worlds collide.
Yes. And so, I mean, here are two descriptions of most likely multidimensional experiences occurring where these energies are moving in and out of both, or two or more dimensions, and one is confronted with this and all alone. You see, this is not something where you can pick up your phone and call 911 and ask them to send somebody over to help out.
Or even pick up a gun.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I going to help you?
You know, and yet, while I was reading this, I see divine providence. I see a good person being confronted,
yes,
because many times these are tests. These,
yes,
are ways, they're like temptations to pull us out of that path that we're on. Now,
that's right.
Being hit by a bus, maybe not the best example, but that could definitely be an example to show you that you are on the right path.
And also that the simple fact that there's a power there guiding and protecting.
Mm-hmm.
Just that alone. The manifestation of that superpower that's always guiding and protecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's always there. It's never gone away.
Yes. Now, from time to time, and we are out of time, I have to say, Michael, but from time to time, I'm getting messages from folks that are getting sick, or they're succumbing to some of the chemtrail spraying or the things that are going around. I've been telling people, you know, to really consider whether or not you want to get a flu shot.
Don't do it.
You know, ultimately, I can't tell someone what to do. They're going to make their own choice. They have to be responsible for their choice.
Just be smart,
yeah.
Please.
We just want to encourage you to evaluate all the information. And until you feel that you've done that, don't just jump into this. Don't buy into the fear, because more than anything, the fear is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's intended, and it's repeated and represented to you in many, many different ways with many different facets to get you to buy into it, to accept it as normal, as a normal consequence of whatever happens in any situation. And that's insanity. Number one, to try to induce you or all of us to accept illusions as our reality is insane.
What's equally insane is to believe that a total stranger, especially coming from our government, cares so much about your health, and you're willing to allow them to inject foreign substances into your body temple that only you own. It's your personal property.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowing a total stranger to inject foreign substances into it. Now, boy, I would ponder that one a lot before I committed to that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's, we're not saying that this is a comfortable issue to deal with, folks. That's not what we're saying at all. But we're saying somewhere in you, do you not feel the sense of indignation that these, you know, being confronted with these decisions over and over creates? I think the very fact that we have to talk about this is a sign that something's terribly wrong.
That's an understatement, pal. But think well before you commit anything, people. Especially something so serious as your health. Because it's a delicate thing. It's easy to maintain. I never get sick. But it's still a delicate thing. And are you willing to allow strangers to inject foreign substances that you have no idea what they are into your body temple? Just stay close to the Almighty, Mother Nature. Treat your body like a temple. Eat the foods from Mother Nature, ripened in the sun. Keep the system clean and open. You'll never get sick. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never need a shot.
Yeah, and your private stock is one thing to stock up on.
Thank you, Don. It truly is, and a lot of people are, Don.
Yeah, I know. I've been hearing that from you. We've got listeners all over the country.
Yes.
That are enjoying the dragon juice, I'm sure, and the benefits of all the products that you have. So, which is good news. I'm glad to hear that. So,
thank you. Yes, I appreciate the promotion, and it's growing in a climate where everything's contracting and shrinking. Now, here you go, people. Here's the evidence of having that power around you all the time, and no matter what's going on around you, your life will stay constructive. And here I have this business going, and I'm not, aside from Don promoting me and Charlie Giuliani promoting me, the only other promotions are everybody that discovers the products and tells other people about them. And it's just growing all on its own in a climate where everything's contracting. That tells you a lot. And so I'm very fortunate, but these products are very unique, very exceptional, and they deliver as promised with the results. And so for extra protection, for any kind of infection that may be going around, you definitely want my infection killer. You want my dragon juice as a preventative to keep the body really healthy and fit. And also, I would recommend the Rapid Heal, because injuries are very common as well. It's great to have that Rapid Heal ready to go when there's a bad injury, no matter what it is. Broken bones, bad sprains, lame backs. severe burns. Doesn't matter the type of injury, the rapid heal will make it disappear really fast. And so those are key products to have at your disposal for future necessities, and you'll be glad you did, as I know I am. I thank God every day that these products are around, because they're just incredible.
Oh, yeah, and the audience has heard my stories as well, and I'm hearing them from other people, too. So,
yes, me too, Don. And I had a call earlier from a listener of yours out there in L.A. named Chaya.
Hmm.
And she was saying how great the system toner and the dragon juice, she couldn't get over it. Just phenomenal improvement. She said she was actually getting younger. She was doing stuff she hasn't been able to do in a long time. And actually physically looking younger, feeling younger. And so, yes, it's just, I love to be able to have this kind of job where I can help people obtain help that they thought they would never have again, and do it as effectively, cost-effectively as possible. And it's just a great thing. It really is. So I thank everybody that are using my products, and I'm glad that you're finding them to work the way I intended them to work.
Yeah. Okay, Michael. Well, I want to thank you. We are out of time, and it was interesting. We got to cover a lot of different areas here.
Always fun, Don. Thank you.
Definitely the fear thing, and people are enjoying that message. They're really feeling that they're hearing something that they can put to work. They can
great.
They can use. So I want to thank you.
Well, my pleasure. That means we accomplished our task, because that's what we're here for, to help everybody get enlightened as fast as possible so we can all work together and turn this country around, buddy.
Yep, and with God's grace, we will do it.
Amen.
So, Michael, I want to thank you, and I'm going to sign off now.
Good night, Don.
And thank Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight, and again, our guest, Michael Anthony. Most of all, the listening audience, I want to wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Join us tomorrow night when our special guest will be scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, teacher, Mr. Jim Murray. In the meantime, have a good night.